very warm welcome, and it's always a great joy for Linda and myself to come back to Crane Hill, a church where we spend many years of happy fellowship and ministry. And it's good to renew fellowship this morning, and also to see many people we've not seen before. That too is encouraging. It shows that the Lord is at work, bringing new people into the church, and we do rejoice in that. Thank you to James for reading our Bible reading for us this morning. Well, as some of you know, as a boy, I was brought up in the seaside town of Morecambe. And in those days, long ago, I remember sometimes when you're in the town centre, you would hear the sound of a siren. And then you would see a number of men racing down to the shore. They were lifeboat men. And very quickly they would man the lifeboat and they would sail out into Morecambe Bay. And as you saw the lifeboat leaving the shore, you knew that out there in the bay, someone was in trouble. Someone was in danger, possibly drowning. And their only hope of safety, their only hope of rescue, was the lifeboat. Well, here in these verses James read for us a moment ago, we are reminded that the Lord Jesus came into this world on the greatest rescue mission of all time. Indeed, Jesus himself says there in verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. In other words, with the coming of Christ, the gospel lifeboat was launched, and Jesus came into this world on the greatest rescue mission that this world has ever seen. Well, we see in these verses that one of those whom the Lord Jesus came to rescue and to save was this man, Zacchaeus. And it's Zacchaeus that I want us to think about very briefly this morning. Who was Zacchaeus? What kind of man was he? Well, we're told there in verse 2, first of all, that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Well, I suppose it's true to say that no one really enjoys paying taxes. It doesn't matter whether it's the council tax, income tax, VAT, whatever it might be, most people complain about taxation. Though, of course, having said that, taxation is very, very necessary. Well, really, it was just the same in Bible times. People didn't like paying taxes. But what made the situation worse for the Jews was this. They were paying taxes to a foreign power. They were paying taxes to the Roman government. And because of that, the local tax collector was very unpopular. He was working for the enemy. He was working for the Romans. And then too, we're also told Zacchaeus was a tax collector, but he was also very wealthy. But sadly, not all his wealth had been obtained by honest means. You see, in those days, tax collectors were notoriously dishonest. They took from the people far more than the Romans demanded. And then what they'd overcharged, they just pocketed for themselves. Indeed, Zacchaeus says, doesn't he? Verse 8, if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. You see, for many tax collectors, dishonesty, cheating, it had almost become a way of life. It was almost regarded as one of the perks of the job. And that was another reason why tax collectors were so unpopular. He was a tax collector, he was wealthy. And then in verse 3, we are told something else about him. We are told that he wanted to see who Jesus was. Now, sadly today, in our own country, most people seem to have very little interest in Jesus at all. But Zacchaeus was different. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Now, clearly, Zacchaeus must have heard about Jesus. He probably heard about our Lord's miracles, how he'd healed the sick, he'd given sight to the blind, he'd even raised the dead. And Zacchaeus's interest, his curiosity had been aroused. Who was this Jesus of Nazareth? Who was this man who was doing such amazing things? Zacchaeus wanted to know more. He wanted to see who Jesus was. And then too, it may be that Zacchaeus had heard from some of his fellow tax collectors that unlike the other religious leaders of the day, certainly unlike the Pharisees, Jesus actually received and welcomed tax collectors. In fact, he was quite prepared to sit down and to share a meal with them. Well, perhaps that was another reason why Zacchaeus felt drawn to Jesus. Or could it perhaps be that Zacchaeus' conscience had begun to trouble him? That he was now beginning to feel a little bit guilty about some of the things he'd done? His dishonesty, his greed, his selfishness, his lack of concern for other people. Were these things now beginning to trouble him? Was that perhaps the reason he wanted to see Jesus? Or could it perhaps be that though materially Zacchaeus seemed to have everything, the job, the money, the house, he seemed to have everything. But could it be that deep down in his heart, there was a very real sense of need, an emptiness, a longing for something better, something more satisfying, something more fulfilling? Was that perhaps the reason Zacchaeus felt drawn to Jesus? Well, we can't say. We can only speculate. Luke simply tells us that he wanted to see who Jesus was. But that, of course, as most of us know from our Sunday school days, posed a very real problem. Because Zacchaeus was a very little man, and a very little man was he. And so we see here, Zacchaeus did something which for a man in his position, remember he was a chief tax collector, he did something rather unusual, something perhaps rather undignified. He climbed a sycamore tree. And there, hopefully unseen, unnoticed by others, he waited for Jesus to pass by. Verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore tree in order to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And then we read verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up to him and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. You see, the Lord Jesus is omniscient. He knows everything. He not only knew that Zacchaeus was in the trade, he also knew Zacchaeus by name. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Well, just imagine how surprised, how shocked Zacchaeus must have been when Jesus actually stopped and looked up into that tree and called him by name. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately, for today I must stay at your house." Well, there are several things I want us to notice very quickly about the call of Jesus that Zacchaeus heard that day. And can we notice, first of all, that it was a gracious call? Who was calling who? Well, the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, God incarnate, the one who is holy, pure and sinless, he was standing at the foot of that tree calling Zacchaeus, a man who was a thief and a cheat, a man who was hated and despised by his local community. The Lord Jesus was calling Zacchaeus. You see, this was a gracious call. The Lord Jesus was reaching out in love and mercy and kindness to a man who didn't deserve it. The Lord Jesus was calling Zacchaeus. And you know, friends, what was true of Zacchaeus is true of each one of us in this gathering this morning. By nature, we too were all sinners. And the Bible says that our sins deserve eternal death. But you know, the Lord Jesus is kind. The Lord Jesus is gracious. And just as he reached out to Zacchaeus, he still reaches out to men and women and young people today, calling them to repentance and to a saving faith and trust in him. And you know, when a person truly seeks after Christ, like Zacchaeus was doing, that person makes an amazing discovery. They discover that Christ is seeking after them. And that was the great discovery Zacchaeus made. He was seeking after Christ, but he discovered that Christ was seeking after him. It was a gracious call. Notice too, it was also a personal call. Yes, Jesus called him by name. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down." Now, I don't know, but there may have been other people sat on the branches of the tree. Perhaps children. After all, children love to climb trees, don't they? This month, during the school holidays, we've been looking after some of our grandchildren, and sometimes they just disappear and there they are up a tree. Children love to climb trees. And so there may have been other people sat on the branches of the tree, I don't know. But you know, there was no mistaking whom Jesus was calling. Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down." And you know, the call of Christ to salvation, it's always a personal call. We don't enter God's kingdom, we don't enter God's family as a crowd. We come as individuals. We come one by one. You know, I well remember the night I was converted, many, many years ago. I was attending a young people's meeting in Carnforth. And that night the preacher was Dr. Alan Redpath, a very well-known preacher in those days. And that night as Dr. Redpath preached, I just knew in my heart that through the preacher, God was speaking to me. Oh, I'd heard the gospel many times before. My grandfather and my uncle, they were well-known gospel preachers in that area. But that night it was different. I just knew that through the preacher, God was speaking to me. God was calling me. And I knew I must respond. I knew I must do something about it. Can I ask you this morning, have you heard the call of Jesus? Yeah. Have you responded to his call? Have you opened your heart to him? Have you received him as your own personal Saviour and Lord? It was a gracious call. It was a personal call. Notice too, it was a humbling call. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. Come down. And in the sight of everybody, he had to come down from that tree. Now surely for a man in his position, in the sight of everybody, that was a very humbling thing for Zacchaeus to have to do. But Jesus said, come down. And you know, one reason why some people never become Christians is because they refuse to come down. They're too proud to acknowledge that they're sinners who need a saviour. They like to think that in some way, by their own efforts, they can save themselves. But the Bible says no. It's impossible. We all need a saviour. And if a man is going to be saved, he must come down. He must humble himself. He must acknowledge his sin. He must trust the Lord Jesus, believing that when Jesus died on the cross, he died for sinners, taking their punishment for sin. If a man is going to be saved, he must come down. It was a gracious call. It was a personal call. It was a humbling call. Notice too, it was also an urgent call. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. There was a very real sense of urgency about the call. You see, that day as Jesus passed through Jericho, he was on his way to Jerusalem. He was on his way to the cross. He would never pass that way again. And so for Zacchaeus, in a very real sense, it was a case of now or never. Never again would he have the opportunity to talk to Jesus. Never again would he have the opportunity to welcome Jesus into his home. For Zacchaeus, it was now or never. And Jesus emphasized that. Jesus said, come down immediately, for today I must stay at your house. And you know, the Bible always emphasizes that the best time to trust the Lord Jesus is today. The devil says, leave it until tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, way back in 1989, a friend of mine was witnessing outside the Hillsborough football ground on that dreadful afternoon when 96 Liverpool fans so tragically lost their lives. And as people entered the ground that afternoon, he was offering them gospel tracts, and he was also holding up a gospel banner. And on the banner were those very solemn words from the book of Amos, "Prepare to meet thy God." And that very afternoon, 96 Liverpool fans entered eternity. The Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Yes, it was a gracious call. It was a personal call. It was a humbling call. It was an urgent call. Notice too, it was also a powerful call. Jesus looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once. No hesitation. He came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. Now remember, up to this moment in time, Zacchaeus had been preoccupied with making money. And you know, the love of money can be a very powerful force in a person's life. But we see here, don't we, that the call of Christ was even more powerful. And when Zacchaeus heard the call of Christ, he responded immediately. He came down at once and welcomed Christ gladly. You see, for Zacchaeus, the call of Christ, it was powerful, it was effectual, it was irresistible. He came down at once and welcomed Christ gladly. And you know, this morning, if we are Christians, then we too have heard the call of Christ. The powerful call, the effectual call, the irresistible call. And through the grace of God, we too have responded. Just like Zacchaeus did. He came down at once and welcomed Christ gladly. Yes, it was a gracious call, a personal call, a humbling call, an urgent call, a powerful call. And then notice finally, it was a life-changing call. A life-changing call. From this moment onwards, Zacchaeus' life would never be the same again. We read verse 8. Zacchaeus said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." You see, Zacchaeus was now a new person. He was a different person. And he desperately wanted to put right some of the things he'd done wrong in the past. And so immediately, he gave half of his possessions to the poor, and very generously, he compensated the folk he cheated. Now, it's important to understand, Zacchaeus did those things not in order to earn salvation. No, what Zacchaeus did, it was the fruit of salvation. It was the fruit of repentance. It was the outward evidence of the inward change that had taken place in Zacchaeus's heart. You know, I'm reminded of the story, and I'm drawing to a close now. I'm reminded of the story of the old man who could neither read nor write. But one day he got wonderfully converted at a Salvation Army meeting. And he noticed that most of the men at the meeting, they were wearing red jumpers with words across the front in white letters. And so he asked his wife whether she would knit him a red jumper. And so she did. But she too was illiterate. And she just didn't know what words or letters to put across the front of the jumper. But just then she noticed that a new poster had gone up in the shop window across the road. And so she copied down the words and the letters, and she sold those words on her husband's new jumper. Well, he went to the meeting, and when he came back, he was so excited. He said everybody at the meeting was just thrilled with my jumper. They say it's the best they've ever seen. And what were the words on his jumper? Well, the words from the shop window. The words under new management. Under new management. And you know, friends, that's what true biblical conversion is all about. We come under new management. We accept a new authority in our lives, the authority of Jesus. And that's how it was with Zacchaeus. He came under new management. He was now a new creation in Christ. And the change that had taken place in his life, it was now evident for all to see. But I wonder this morning, what about you and me? If we claim to have a saving faith in Jesus, if we claim to be under new management, I wonder, is there some evidence of that in our daily living? Are we different people from the people we used to be? Not perfect people, far from it. We'll only be perfect when we get to heaven. When we see him, we shall be like him. But I wonder this morning, are we different people from the people we used to be? Are we nicer people? Are we easier to live with? Are we becoming more like Jesus? In character, in conduct, in conversation? You see, it's an unchanging biblical principle that those God calls, those God chooses, he changes. And the evidence of that change, it should be seen in our daily living, in the kind of people we are, and in the kind of things that we do. You know, many years ago in this country, there was a well-known evangelist by the name of Lindsay Blake. I remember him speaking at the old Filey Convention. And in one of his books, he said this, very challenging words. He wrote these words. He said, I believe there are people today who would be ready to receive the gospel message if only they could see the power of that message at work in your life and mine. Well, may the Lord help us to show the reality of our faith by living lives that are different, lives that are attractively different, lives that truly glorify our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your dear Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he came into this world for a very definite purpose. He came in order to seek and to save that which was lost. And Father, this morning, many of us who bow before you, we bless you and thank you that through your amazing grace, our faith and our trust are in the Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray that you will help us by your Spirit to live lives that are worthy of him, lives that reveal him to others, And Father, we pray that in our daily living, in the things we do, in the words we speak, Father, we pray that our very lives may glorify the Lord Jesus and bring praise and honour to him. We ask this for Christ's sake. Amen.